Good morning. Can you hear me okay? Okay. Anyone who knows me knows that I really enjoy to play the piano. And to be able to play the piano, it's important that you can hear, to hear the music. Well, anyone who also knows me very well knows that I do not hear very well. In fact, I have significant hearing loss. My own daughter, 21-month-old daughter, when we are home, she rushes to the window and she hears her daddy pull up the driveway. Myself, I didn't hear anything. I wouldn't hear until he's pretty close inside the same room with me. Many times when we are home, James has to say the same thing over again so I can hear him. He has to speak louder. All throughout my life, a common word I've used is what? What did you say? Can you say that one more time? I'm really good at looking at people's lips and your facial expressions so I understand what you're saying. You see, when God created me, he made my ears different than most people. My ears look normal on the outside, but inside, my eustachian tubes never developed the way that they should. So that meant I needed surgery. When I was 9 months old, I had my very first surgery. Since then, I have had 32 ear operations. Did you hear that okay? 32 ear operations. Eventually, due to all of my surgeries, a small hole developed in each eardrum, which decreased my hearing as well. Eventually, I started to wear hearing aids about 2.5 years ago, and that has made a huge difference in my hearing. I can hear much better now. Many times as I was growing up, I would often ask God before an operation, I would say, God, please heal me, heal my ears. I believe, I have all the faith that you can do it. And the next morning, I would head off to the hospital, and sure enough, I still needed a surgery. Did God not hear my prayers? Did he choose not to listen to my prayers? My faith was challenged and strengthened. Yes, God did my he heard my prayers, and he had another plan for me. You see, God, who created my ears, also created me to play the piano. And I have been blessed to play the piano at a really young age. And God's allowed me to play in prisons, detention centers, schools, churches, concerts, traveling ministry teams overseas and all throughout the United States. And the interesting fact about all of this is that God uses the weakest part of my body, my ears, to bring him glory. And I must depend on him. God continues to open up doors to play for his glory. And I pray I can play all the way until the time he takes me home from this earth. And I will enjoy every note along the way. I share this today to encourage you. Perhaps you have a physical weakness. It might be seen or it might be unseen. Or you may see limitations in your personality. Perhaps you feel you're too shy or you're too loud or something in the middle. You may feel that your abilities are not very strong. Maybe you feel like you're not cutting it at school or you're not cutting it at work or maybe even being a mom, you feel like you're inadequate. Whatever it is, I want you to trust God that he can use your weakness for his glory. Trust God. He can use it for his purpose. He can use your limitations for his glory in amazing ways. Our weakness gives us the opportunity to rest on the mighty power of God Almighty. Thank you.
Thank you, honey. Thank you, Becky. The title of today's lesson is Consider Him, Faithful Fatherhood. This morning, we are going to focus on Job and the lessons that we can learn from his life. Even if you are not a dad, we all can learn from a great Old Testament hero of the faith, Job. I pray that today you will leave with a desire to grow these fruits in your own life, whether you are a father or not. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, we come to you today. Father, we're so inadequate. Lord, I thank you that you can use weak vessels such as us to carry your good news to our families, to our neighbors, to our friends, both here and around the world, Lord. I think of John the Baptist as he said, "He must increase and I must decrease." May we truly decrease in our pride and our selfishness, Lord. But may we increase in the fruit of the Spirit, gentleness, kindness, patience, joy, and love. Oh, Lord, we come to you today and ask that you would help us to be faithful right where you have placed us, at school, at work, at home, that we would be faithful. Father, I think of Zephaniah 3:17, how it says that you rejoice over us. You sing over us. You quieten us with your love, Lord. Lord, help us today to hear your voice, to hear your words. Help us to apply what we learn from Job into our own lives. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Okay, in Job, we're going to be looking at the first two chapters. So we're not going to be doing a lot of turning back and forth. So who is Job anyway? And everybody, I hope everyone's received an outline. We are going to be going in our last outline. The character Job. Let's read chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. Follow along with me. In the land of Uz, there lived a man whose name was Job. This man was blameless, upright, feared God, and shunned evil. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters. He owned 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 donkeys, a large number of servants. He was the greatest man among all the people in the East. Job was also married. He had 1 wife. Look at that list again. 7 sons, 3 daughters. He was a wealthy landowner, as well as livestock owner. He owned 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yokes of oxen, 500 donkeys. He also had a large number of servants. Okay, number 1 on your outline. Letter A. Pure. The word has been translated as perfect. In the original language, the meaning is that a person or a thing is complete, perfect, flawless. It does not mean that Job was sinless, but that he was wholeheartedly trying to please God. He had integrity, and he was blameless before God. B in your outline. Another key word is upright. Job was upright. In the original language, this word comes from the idea of being just or blameless and implies into your relationships with those around you. And the same word can be found in Psalm 25, verse 21, as well as Psalm 37:37, the same Hebrew word for upright. C in our outline. Another important trait about Job was that he feared God and shunned evil. These phrases, notice they're linked together. He feared God, shunned evil. This teaches about Job's character. He had a great fear that shows reverence for the Lord, meaning that he was truly a devoted worshiper who shunned evil. How about when we took a look at ourselves? If someone was to write about us, how would they describe us? Would they describe us as being pure before God? That we wholeheartedly tried to please God? Could they say that we were upright with others in our relationships? Would they go even as far as to say that we feared God and turned away from evil? Letter D in your outline is wisdom. Job also had wisdom. He says, Job says, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to understand and to shun evil is understanding. The fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to shun evil is understanding. E, another character quality about Job is that he had moral purity. Job is quoted as saying, I have made a covenant with my eyes not to look lustfully at a girl. Is that true of you, fathers? Is that true of each of us here today? Are we being faithful to the one God has given us in marriage, our marriage partner? If we're single today, are we waiting faithfully for God's best for us while maintaining our moral purity? This is a hard area for us. But it's also a great reminder for all of us. Job was morally pure. How about us? F. Job was a worshiper of God. Job 1:5 says, when a period of feasting had run its course, Job would send and have them purified. Early in the morning, he would sacrifice a burnt offering for each of them, thinking, perhaps my children have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. This was Job's regular custom. Regularly he did this, offering sacrifices for his kids, thinking that they might have sinned in their feasting. We come to Job. Here we have number 2 on your outline, the first heavenly challenge, which is the title of the message today, consider him. Notice who the Lord is going to be talking to. Let's read verses 8 through 12. Then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? There is no one on earth like him. He is blameless, upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil. Does Job fear God for nothing? Satan replies. Have you not put a hedge around him and his household and everything he has? You have blessed the work of his hands so that his flocks and herd have spread throughout the land. But stretch out your hand and strike everything he has, and he will surely curse you to your face. Then the Lord said to Satan, very well, then everything he has is in your hands. But on the man himself, do not lay a finger. Then Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. When we hear the word consider him, in the Hebrew language, what it's saying is, have you placed your heart on Job? That is the question God is asking Satan. Have you placed your heart on Job? This means the Lord was challenging, he was asking Satan to direct his heart and mind toward Job. God was asking this question to make Satan aware of all Job's fine qualities. We mentioned them. Number 1 on your outline. God spoke so highly of Job, saying, there is no one, that's number 1 on your outline, no one on earth like him. He is blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil. I want you to take notice of this. Who is saying these qualities here? Job himself isn't pulling out a list and saying, here's my list. I'm this, this, this. No, this is God saying this about Job. Satan's going to attack Job. He's going to offer a blow to Job right here. Let's look at verses 13 through 19. One day, when Job's sons and daughters were feasting and drinking wine at the oldest brother's house, a messenger came to Job and said, "The oxen were plowing and the donkeys were grazing nearby. And the Sabaeans attacked and carried them off. They put the servants to the sword, and I am the only one left and escaped to tell you." While he was still speaking, another messenger came and said, "Fire from God fell from the sky and burned up the sheep and their servants, and I am the only one left who has escaped to tell you." While he was still speaking, another messenger came and said, "The Chaldeans formed 3 raiding parties. They swept down on your camels and carried them off. They put your servants to the sword, and I am the only one who has escaped to tell you." While he was still speaking, yet another messenger came and said, "Your sons and daughters were feasting and drinking wine at the oldest brother's house, when suddenly a mighty wind swept in from the desert, struck the 4 corners of the house, it collapsed on them. They are dead, and I am the only one who has escaped to tell you." So on the same day, Job is going to suffer greatly. He loses all his livestock. He loses his oldest son's house. He loses all his servants, except for these 4 that just came and told him this news. And finally, number 2 on your outline is he loses his very own children. All 10 kids dead, just like that. All 10. Boom, they're all gone. How does Job respond to this? How would we respond to this? Everything like that, gone. At this, Job gets up. What does he do? He's going to tear his robes, shaves his head. He falls on the ground. And number 3 on your outline is he worshiped. Please let that sink in. He fell on the ground in worship. Yes, it says clearly that he worshiped. Didn't say he cried. It didn't say he did anything else, but he worshiped. Here's what he's going to say. Verse 21, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked will I depart. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised." Job was recognizing who was the giver of life, and that's number 3 also on your outline, giver, as well as the sustainer of life. And guess what? Job praises God. Verse 22, "In all this, Job did not sin by charging God with any wrongdoing." Satan told him, "You take away everything he has, he's going to curse you to his face." Job's standing up pretty good right now. So we have the second heavenly challenge. Consider him. Job 2, chapter 2, verse 3. "Then the Lord said to Satan, 'Have you considered my servant Job? There is no one on earth like him. He is blameless, upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil. And he still maintains his integrity, though you incited me against him to ruin him without any reason.' Look what God added to Job's description this time. Maintains his integrity. That's number 1 on your outline under the second heavenly challenge. Maintain his integrity. The Hebrew word, this is A, sheds some light on the phrase. It means to make strong. That's A in your outline. C's, hold fast. It joins with the Hebrew phrase, "yet he." It emphasizes that he still is holding firmly. Did you catch that? The testing has, B, it has strengthened Job's integrity. It strengthened it. All his trials, all his pain, all his suffering right now has strengthened his testimony. Satan's not going to give up that easy. Satan's second blow to Job, his second attack, number two on the outline, painful sores. In verse 7, it tells us that there were painful sores all over his body from the soles of his feet to the top of his head. But this time, Satan's going to recruit some extra additional help. Verse 9, chapter 2, verse 9. His wife says to him, "Are you still holding on to your integrity? Curse God and die." His wife's telling him. His wife realizes, "Hey, Job, you're in a lot of suffering. Just die. End it all. Get out of it. Curse him." Satan now is attacked in God's greatest earthly established relationship. Remember in the garden, Adam and Eve, man and woman, God created marriage, and Satan's going to use his wife to say, "Curse God and die." What does Job do? 2:10. He gives a mild rebuke to his wife. "Honey," I'm sure he said, "honey, you are talking like a foolish woman. Should we accept the good from God and not trouble?" And all of this, Job did not sin. That's number 3 on your outline. Job did not sin. And that's found in Job 2:10. If you were to give Job an interview, suppose you asked him, "What will you say about your God?" Remember what Job has experienced. And notice, folks, that was all in one day. All the suffering, all his calamity has come in one day. Job, in the midst of his crisis, with pain and huge amounts of suffering, here's Job's answer. Here's how he would answer it. Job says, and this is A in your outline, "I know that my Redeemer lives and that in the end he will stand upon the earth. And after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see God. I myself will see him with my own eyes, I and not another. How my heart yearns within me." That's Job 19, verses 25 through 27. Notice he says, "my Redeemer." Job is saying he needs a Savior. B, Job is placing his trust in God as his Redeemer. From the Hebrew, we get the idea, "my Vindicator." Even though Job was a man who feared God, shunned evil, who was blameless and upright, he still needed a Redeemer. This gives us hope. We may have made many mistakes as fathers, and I'm sure you can think of some. But the truth is, the fact is, we have all sinned. That's why we too have to have a Redeemer. And Jesus paid that sin debt and frees us from the penalty of sin, which is eternal death. Number 3 on our outline, faithful fatherhood. We're going to look at 4 qualities real quick. First quality, feared God. Friends, do not underestimate what is being said here at this point. When we look at the book of Job, for dating the book, the exact date is not known, but most scholars estimated that the book of Job was written 2,000 to 1,500 B.C. before Christ, probably during the time of patriarchs. You may think to yourself, why is that important? This is number 1 on your outline. Job did not have the complete Bible. At best, he may have had a small fraction of a portion of the scriptures. Some biblical scholars say that the book of Exodus at this point in time was not written yet. That means, friends, that Job did not have God's moral law. He did not have the Ten Commandments to live his life by. He didn't have them. How do you think Job learned about God then? If he has no moral law to go by. I believe, since God has always existed, and one of the ways we know that he reveals himself is through natural revelation. As it says in Romans 1:20, "For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power, his divine nature has clearly been seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuses." It's Romans 1:20. Ecclesiastes 3:11 says, "He has made everything beautiful in his time. He has set eternity in hearts of men." Did you hear that phrase? This is God. He has set eternity in hearts of men. Yet they cannot fathom what God has done from beginning to the end. We don't know God's whole time schedule. We have what he's going to do in the Bible. My point here is that Job feared God. I think he saw the order of nature, the changing of seasons, fall, winter, spring. He knew when the plant is crops, when the harvest is crops. He saw his children being born. And unfortunately, just like that, all 10 died. So he has to deal with the death of them too. Second quality, blameless. As we've seen earlier in the original language, the word blameless means to be complete, perfect, flawless. It does not mean he was sinless, though. This is number two on your outline as well. But that he was wholeheartedly trying to please God. He was wholeheartedly trying to please God. Third quality, upright. Yes, this is very similar to blameless. Yet in original language, it conveys the ideal of being just. Just in relationships with our family, with our friends, with co-workers, being just. Job treated people justly. He was fair. He was honest. If Job said he was going to do something, he did it. Fourth quality, he shunned evil. Job, because he feared God, had the ability to shun evil. He had the fear of God that gave him the ability to shun evil. He had spiritual discernment, is what we would say today. He had spiritual discernment. He could stay out of compromising situations to his faith. He could recognize the danger. He wouldn't go down that road. Because he shunned evil, he kept himself morally pure. His conscience before God was clean. And you may be thinking right now, how could he do that? It goes back to the first quality. He feared God. His fear of God did not give any room in his heart for the enemy, Satan, to have a foothold. Job did two things. This is number four in the outline. He guarded his heart and mind. Now, when we look at the scriptures, when we look at the Bible, there's two things that God tells us to guard, to protect. And it's going to be these two things. First, your heart. And in Proverbs 4:23, I really love this verse. It says, "Above all else, guard your heart, for out of it the wellsprings of life flow." The wellsprings of life flow from your heart. So guard your heart. Second thing, your mind. We demolish every argument and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. That's found in 2 Corinthians 5:10. Remember, Jesus also gave us the command to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And that's found in Matthew 22:37. Notice it has both heart and mind in there. These are key elements. My challenge to you is to live for Jesus in the situation we find ourselves in. If you're in pain and suffering like Job, you can use it to bring Jesus glory. You can ask God for help. You can trust Him, even when your world may be full of turmoil. Friends, if you know someone today, and there's a good possibility each of us may know someone that's sick or suffering or going through some severe trials, faith-shaking trials, would you consider being their friend? Please practice the ministry of presence by being there. Do not try to solve their problems. I want to say that again. Please do not try to solve the problems. People at times of great suffering don't want somebody to say, if you just did this, 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 everything would be fine. I take an example from Job's friends. One thing they did have, Job's friends came, they sat with him how many days? 7 days. Not only 7 days, but 7 nights. And guess what? They said nothing. They wept with him. They were grieving with him. It was only when they started speaking the problems came in. That was found in Job 2:13. So I encourage us, let's be more courageous than Job's friends. Let's love the people we know, family, our friends, our co-workers. Let's pray for them, and let's be willing to be there for them in their times of need. Perhaps you are a father today, and you feel like, I've fallen short in doing a good job of being a father. Run to Jesus. You can ask Him for forgiveness, and your children usually are willing to forgive you as well. Ask for Jesus' help. For all of us, let's consider Job as an example. And if you're wondering about Job's life, how did Job's life end? How did Job finish well? Let me challenge you. Read chapter 42 in Job. Read the last chapter on your own time. Just read it. And I think you'd be amazed at his life. He is such a strong testimony of faithfulness. In conclusion, we have a lot to be encouraged, my brothers and sisters. For those of us who are believers in Christ Jesus, we should rejoice greatly. Because what Christ has done for us through His life, His death, His burial, His resurrection, and ascension, we have forgiveness. We have redemption. And we have the ability, God has given us the ability to live for Him. Each day, He's given us ability. Each day, we have choices to make. This or that. And we know if we listen to God's Spirit, which one we should do. If we can be like Job, we can stay out of these compromising situations. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, thank You for Father's Day. Thank You that being parents is such a learning process. It's a time of growth. Help us each day to love our families, to pray with them, and to pray for them. Thank You that each of us can trust You in the midst of our suffering. We do not have to have all the answers. Job didn't have any. There was no one sitting there explaining what happened. Yet, he trusted You. Help us, just like him, to follow You uprightly. Help us to shun evil because we want to love You and respect You, Lord. Teach us to follow You. Give us eyes to see the needs that others have. Use us, precious Jesus, to make a difference in our life. Teach us to serve others like You did, Jesus. Bless us with Your joy, and we thank You, Lord. And it's in Your name we pray. Amen.